Beautifully done. I praise the Lord for it. Turn your Bible to the book of Joshua, chapter 12. The book of Joshua, chapter 12. Wait on me there. We've been having what we call Heritage Day. And again, I've been highlighting three men who are now with the Lord. They have passed out of this life, and they are now with Jesus Christ. One of them was this morning, Brother Keith Kaiser. We highlighted him and his song and his message on I Found the Book. Tonight I'm going to talk to you a little bit about my heritage. Now understand, when I'm talking about my heritage, that you all can relate to this. Because even though this is my heritage, if you're saved tonight, you can also say that you have a heritage. Somebody's influenced you is what I'm trying to say. Now, even though I'm sharing with you two more men tonight that influenced my life, I want you not necessarily to think about these particular men, even though we're highlighting them and how God used them in my life. I want you to think about those who've influenced you for the cause of Jesus Christ. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? I want you to think about your heritage. And just like I said this morning, what I'm doing today, by the way, it's getting harder and harder to do this. I'm going to have to go on a diet. Anyway, the fact of the matter is this. What I'm thinking about tonight is I'm thinking about those who've influenced my life. And then in turn, those whose my life is influencing. Whether it be for good and God, or whether it be for evil and the devil. Folks, you're leaving a heritage. Whether you understand that or not, I don't know, but you are leaving a heritage. Every decision you make is helping make up the heritage that you're leaving to those that you have influence on. Don't ever fall prey to this thought, I don't have influence. Don't ever believe that, because everybody has some type of influence. Everybody does. You have influence with somebody. Now, whether it be one or 10,000, I don't know how many it is, but somebody is being influenced by your life. Now, before we get started here, I want to do something. I'm highlighting my great-granddaddy tonight, and I'm also highlighting Brother Olin Curley, my sixth grade Sunday school teacher. We honored his widow this morning, and I want to honor the widow of Mrs. Curley, of Brother Curley tonight. Mrs. Curley's with us. She wasn't expecting this. But if she wouldn't mind to stand just a moment, I understand she's going to kill me for this, but obey your pastor and stand if you wouldn't mind. This is Mrs. Curley. We've got a special floral arrangement that's coming your way right now, and we sure hope that this will be a blessing to you. Right there it is beside you. God bless you. A very small token of our appreciation for your ministry and for standing by Brother Curley. And I think it'd be appropriate. Let's give her a nice round of applause. Shall we do that? Very, very good. Psalm 16:6. Stay right there in Joshua 12. I'm coming to it. Psalm 16:6 says, the lines are fallen to me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. Psalm 61:5, the Bible says, for thou, O God, hast heard my vows. Thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear thy name. On this Heritage Sunday, I'm bringing out these three men who are now with the Lord, who had an impact and influence on my life. These three men are part of my goodly heritage that I never want to forget. The first is Keith Kaiser. We highlighted him this morning. If you weren't in here, you can go back and get that. By the way, I understand his wife did an outstanding job in Sunday school, so praise the Lord for it. The next two I'm highlighting tonight are Brian Wheelock. Who's that? That's my great-granddaddy. That is Glad she's here, and my grandmother, Maul. That is their daddy, if you will. And his wife's name was Eula. We called him Brian and Mama Locke is what we called him. And I never will forget that. And Olin Curley, my sixth-grade Sunday school teacher here at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. Now, you're in Joshua chapter 12. Let's notice in verse number 1. I'm just trying to show you a thought here as just kind of like a launching pad into what we're doing. Now these are the kings of the land which the children of Israel smote and possessed their land on the other side Jordan toward the rising of the sun from the river Arnon unto Mount Hermon and all the plain on the east. Notice verse number 6. them did Moses the servant of the Lord and the children of Israel smite. And Moses the servant of the Lord gave it for possession unto the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half tribe of Manasseh. And these are the kings of the country which Joshua and the children of Israel smote on this side, Jordan, on the west, from Baal Gad and the valley of Lebanon, and so on and so forth. If you mark your Bible, I want you to mark two phrases. Now, I preached on this when I preached through the book of Joshua, which has been so long ago, you may have forgotten about it. I want you to notice in verse number 7, the phrase, on this side. And then if you notice in verse number 1, you'll notice the phrase, on the other side. Do you see those phrases? On this side and on the other side. If you're in the habit of marking your Bible, I'd like you to circle both those phrases and connect the two. Because what you see is you see this chapter starting with Moses on the other side taking care of business. Then when you come to verse 7, it's now Joshua on the scene, and now he's on this side, Jordan, taking care of business. Are you listening to me? There'd be no Joshua on this side without a Moses on the other side. Let me say it again. There'd be no Joshua on this side, Jordan, in verse 7, without a Moses on the other side, Jordan, in verse 1. Everybody, if you're saved tonight, you have a Moses on the other side, whether it's somebody you knew or didn't even know about. There's somebody who's influenced your life. Now, I want to talk to you about these two men tonight. By the way, their pictures are out in the lobby. All three of these men's pictures are out there. And again, let me emphasize this thought. Tonight, it may seem like I'm lifting up man, but I'm really not doing that. I'm lifting up their God who used them to influence my life. God touches human beings through other human beings. Dr. Clarence Sexton puts it this way, every Christian has a human thumbprint on him. Think about that statement. That if you were reached, it's because another human being got the gospel to you somehow. Whether it be through preaching a message, giving you a gospel tract, everybody has, who's saved, has a godly heritage. And I'm going to highlight, first of all, my great-granddaddy, Brian Wheelock. Now, the first one I'm mentioning is my great-grandfather, Brian Wheelock, who died when I was 5 years old. Obviously, I didn't know him that well. I do remember, however, my dad was at the hospital. He had had a heart attack. Even though I was 5 years old, I can't remember what happened this morning, but there's some things even about that I remember as a five-year-old. I still remember being down at the homestead, which is where my parents live now. It's where they were living at that time. And I remember taking the phone call and my dad on the other end of the line, and he said, Jody, tell him Brian didn't make it. He died from a heart attack when I was 5 years old. I still remember going up after that, going up to our trailer, getting up in the top bunk. My brother and I were in bunk beds. I lived on top, and I know what you're thinking, how'd I get up there? Well, trampolines were invented back in that day. I'm kidding with you, but anyway, well, I wouldn't be far from the truth with that. And I still remember crawling up into my bed and bawling like a baby. I was only five. I didn't know him well, but I knew enough that I missed him. But I would be lying to you if I told you that I could accurately acquaint you with him. So what I did this week, excuse me, is I went to four people who knew the life of this dear great granddaddy of mine, and I'm gonna let them give you and introduce you to him tonight. One of them is my dad. He's here tonight. This is his grandfather. One of them is Maul. This is one of his daughters, and Glad, she's here. This is another daughter. And then the other one was Preacher Lashley, who was his pastor for several years. Now, some of these thoughts may be repetitive, but I wanted to give them as they were told. First of all, I'm going to tell you what Maul said about him. He was born in Washington County, Virginia. By the way, stay with me here a little bit, because at the end of this message is when the message really comes out for you. He was born in Washington County, Virginia. He was a very smart man. He could work any kind of math in his head before putting it on paper. He loved history. He could tell you dates and when things happened, name the capitals of each state and other important dates. He worked 20 years in the coal mines in West Virginia. Small world, isn't it, Brother Steve? No doubt about it. While in a church in West Virginia, he was a Sunday school teacher and superintendent of the church Sunday school. From the day he was saved, he read and studied his Bible every day. You could ask him a question about the Bible and he could tell you the scripture and where it was found. Because his job was listed as a fire boss, he had work when others didn't, so he would buy food, shoes, and clothes for his men and their families who worked with him. In the late 1930s, there was a mine explosion that killed his brother and his best friend. This explosion made him want to leave the mines and move to another location. So he began looking for a farm in northeast Tennessee. He looked at about five farms, before choosing the one he bought. The address for the farm then was Route 2, Jonesboro, Tennessee, but was later given the address of Shadon and Buckingham Road. He bought a 100-acre farm, 8-room house, 2 horses, a wagon, and 5 cows. He went to farming. My dad, this is Maul speaking, never did worry about anything. He said the Lord was in control. He never lost a field of wheat, a field of hay, wheat, or anything raised on the farm. Yes, he finally traded his horses for a tractor, bought more cows, and sold milk. He had chickens and eggs. When we moved here in June 1939, we went to Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church in Gray our first Sunday. He joined the church and became a men's Sunday school teacher. He never said a harm word about anybody. He read his Bible through each year twice, and some years 3 times. He also studied what he read. Dad was a good Christian man, a good husband, a good father, a good grandfather, and a good neighbor. Several of his men in his Sunday school class over the years said he had a good impact in their lives. He was an honest man. One time he went to the bank and got a check cashed. They gave him more money than the check, but he didn't count until he got home. And after he got home and realized that they gave him more money than what his check was written for, he got in his car, drove back to the bank in Jonesboro, and gave the money back. The bank said that that didn't happen too often. His favorite songs were "Oh Happy Day" and "There's a Great Day Coming." I'm telling you, this is rejoicing my heart. Just reading some of this, you know. You might think this is bored. That's okay. Just help yourself. This is rejoicing my heart right here, thinking about my great-granddaddy. I hope you're thinking about somebody who's influenced you. I want to tell you what Glad said about him. My great aunt, she's here tonight. I saw her. God bless her. And I see that hand back there. Here's what she said. Brian Wheelock was a man small in stature. Oh, yeah. Weighing 130 to 150 pounds. Now, he's got me on one. I've got him beat on the other one, if you understand. But he was a man, honest and hardworking. By trade, he was a miner and a farmer. He was kind and helpful to anyone needing his assistance. One of his greatest traits, he was a Christian and lived his life, walked the walk, and talked the talk daily. Brian was such a good moral man that no one knew he was lost. About 1934, a Baptist preacher from Virginia came to Carswell and held a month revival. Great preaching was given and many saved. Because of his working schedule, Brian didn't attend often, but one night after hearing a stirring sermon on hell, he gave his heart to the Lord in the privacy of his own home. He went to the evangelist, told him his story, and asked to be baptized. He and his 12-year-old daughter were baptized. I take it that that's you, Glad. Am I right by saying that? So you and your dad were baptized the same time, the same Sunday night at Keystone Baptist Church. He studied his Bible, memorized scriptures, and where they were found. After moving to Gray, June 1939, he attended Buffalo Ridge. He joined the church, became the teacher of the men's class. He held that job for 50 years or so. Can you imagine that? He taught the class through study and prayer. Brian loved children, the young boys that would help him on the farm especially. He made life and work fun by teaching the men things he learned in school, things as capitals of the states, rivers, mountains, multiplication tables, how to work problems in their head. He would say, and I quote, don't always have paper and pencil. That's what he would always say. He would tell them stories and ask, what'd you learn from this story, and wait patiently for the answers. 60 years later, talking, you know, from the time, you know, that he died and so on. 60 years later, these young fellows, these men are now great fathers, husbands, and citizens. They stood at his casket and said to me, this is Glad speaking, we are what we are today because of him. He never said no to one needing help. During the Depression in the 30s, There was no welfare, and many were hungry. Many came to him to borrow money, and he'd say, I don't have money to lend, to loan, but give me your grocery order, and I'll fill it. He had never asked for money. Yes, he was a kind-hearted gentleman to all. His motto was the golden rule, do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. This is touching here. He said from Jody's birth that he would be a preacher. Glad said, no, he's going to end up in the penitentiary. That's what she told me. Glad tells me that she remembers me chasing my brother on a riding lawnmower. She can't verify that, though. It's her word against mine, you know. My dad said this. I'm just going to give you the points because he numbered them. Number one, he was a teacher of the men's Sunday school class at Buffalo Ridge. Number two, preacher Lashley used him as one to go to for advice when he first got here. That's sobering, you know. Number three, I was around him every day of his life, and he was daily reading and studying his Bible. Number four, he's the most patient man I've ever seen. Number five, he lived out his beliefs. Number six, he never saw him angry or out of control. By the way, I hope you're asking yourself, can my family say this about me? As old John R. Rice used to do, they say, he'd put those glasses down and look at you just over the top of the glasses, you know. Number seven, he was well respected by all. Number eight, he helped anyone in need. Number nine, I would compare him to a modern day Job of the Bible. Number 10, he died when Jody was five and thought Jody would be a preacher. Number 11, his life left our family the greatest example possible of how to live a Christian life. Number 12, people knew he was real and saw Christ in him. Number 13, he was a coal miner. He went from a coal miner to a farmer. He was a hard, honest worker. Number 14, he was always teaching me, this is my dad, lessons of life. He would take me with him to Shadden's store located above our house on Shadden Road. And one time I took a piece of bubble gum without paying, put it in my pocket. And on the way home he asked, did he pay for all I got? And when he found out he didn't, he turned the car around, went back and made me take the penny in and give it to Mrs. Shadden. Number 15, he milked cows twice a day and farmed between both times. That's what my dad had to say about him. You know, family knows their family the best. You understand what I'm saying? And I think it's interesting how Ma and Glad's and my dad's stories all complement each other. And they're basically saying the same thing. I called Preacher Lasher last week when he was out of town in Pennsylvania. I said, I hate to bother you, but I need to ask you about my great-granddaddy. And he said, I'm not giving you directly here, but you'll get the basic gist. Most of these are preacher's direct words, but I'm kind of summarizing it. Preacher considered him a great man of integrity who loved the Word of God. He said he had a great testimony, a kindly, outstanding man who was a great teacher. Preacher said he made the motion that when he was voted in, my great-granddad is the one that made the motion that we back and accept Preacher Lashley for who he is. Anything good, Preacher said about him, you wouldn't miss it at all. He had a good head on his shoulders, was a good sound thinker with great, good spiritual common sense. Preacher was highly impressed with him. Now, I want to ask this question. How many of you all here, if any, knew my great-granddaddy? Would you raise your hand? You knew my great-granddaddy. Yes. There's sporadic here. I believe you would agree with everything that's been read here tonight, wouldn't you? He was a great man. Now you say, Jody, what are you going to say here? Well, I'm going towards the end of this, but let me just go ahead and just say a word here. I don't know, and I didn't know my great-grandfather that long, 5 years. But I know this. He had an impact and influence upon my life. He faithful, and I get this, folks, get this. Even though I didn't know him that much, he faithfully passed down a goodly heritage to his family. And now that family has passed it on to me. He lived in obedience to the Lord himself and passed down a great heritage to me. I didn't know him that long. He didn't know me that long. He saw something. I think it's amazing how God gives intuition when he looks at me as a small child and says, that boy's going to be a preacher. He probably saw I was meaner than a rattlesnake, and you know, and that's probably the case. But I want to ask you a question. What about your family line? What about your five-year-olds when God calls you home? What about your family lineage that maybe you never may meet before you go to glory? Are you doing everything you can to make sure that those in your family line get the truth like somebody gave to you? I'm preaching a little bit before I get to the main outline here. But I learned from my great-granddaddy this truth. You stay right with God yourself, and you pass on what you know is the truth to the next generation. And you pray that God gets a hold of their heart, and they pass it on. And now I'm pastoring this church, and my great-granddaddy had an influence in my life. Amen. That's a blessing tonight, no doubt about it. By the way, Judges 1 and 2 teach us that if you do not obey God, it helps create an ungodly generation. You read it for yourself, Judges 1 and 2. When God said, kick them all out, kill them all off, and they did that as long as it was easy, but then when they saw chariots of iron in the valley and it got hard a little bit, they said, wait a minute, let's stop here. So they stopped obeying God. Chapter 2, verse 10, there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. Read it yourself. I'm telling you, folks, that we need to pass on what somebody passed to us. And that's what I've learned from my great-granddaddy. Let me highlight the next man here. And that is Mr. Olin Curley, my sixth grade Sunday school teacher while I was here. Matter of fact, I'm preaching out of one of his Bibles here. And this other Bible I brought to the pulpit with me, this is also his Bible. I preached from my great-granddaddy's Bible this morning. But Micah Johnson gave him this Bible that I hold. Micah and I were in the same class together. We graduated together, and which means that Micah gave this to him while he was a sixth grader, is my guess, which means that I was in this class with Micah. This could very well be the Bible that Mr. Curley taught me from. Can you imagine that? This could be it right here. Now, I'm preaching from his other Bible, but let me just give you what Mrs. Curley said about him. I asked Mrs. Curley to write some things down about him, and here's what she said. Olin and I were married March 11, 1949. I was saved. He wasn't. We lived in his hometown for a short while, and I knew he wasn't saved, but I didn't know what to do about it. We moved to Winston-Salem, North Carolina. He seemed more open to the Bible, but I didn't know what to do. One Sunday when we were getting ready, he went to get the Sunday paper and came back with two books. He told me that he knew I would like the books. These books were Christian to him, but it was false doctrine, and like Jehovah Witnesses material and things like that. But he was lost. He didn't know any better. He was bringing this to her. They were not the right doctrine, so Mrs. Curley voiced her dislike. He didn't understand, but they went on to church with their friends, and as a result of this, Mr. Curley received Christ as his Savior. Christ became the most important person in his life. You could see him grow. This is Mrs. Curley, was teaching child evangelism. He got interested, and soon he got a Sunday school class at Marshall Baptist Church. From then on, for the next few years, we spent with kids wherever we went. He always said, if we win a child, now listen to this statement. He always said, if we win a child, we saved a soul and a life to be used for Christ. Powerful statement. We moved back to North Carolina. His mother died, and back there, he carried tracts and witnessed wherever he went. I gave birth to our baby boy, and he died. He wanted to move to Lynchburg, Virginia. And while he was there, he worked in the bus ministry, bringing scores of children, winning many for Christ. We left Lynchburg and came to this area. We were both involved with children. He trusted God for everything. He never worried about anything. He always said God would provide, and God always did. He met Jody here and considered him part of the family. John R. Rice was his hero. He worked in children's church at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church for over 25 years. And she ends it by saying, I miss him, but we'll be together soon. Precious, precious thoughts. I know the Lord allowed me. There's no doubt in my mind that God orchestrated it for me to have Mr. Curley as a sixth grade Sunday school teacher. You know what he did? He took an interest in my life. I didn't understand it at that time. He would come by the house on Saturdays. He'd pick me up and we'd go out visiting as a sixth grader in his Sunday school class. Now, I'll be honest with you. I'm not sure if my motive was to see somebody saved or eat the Big Mac that he's going to buy me or the Whopper he's going to buy me, whatever the case may be. He taught me to carry gospel tracts. He taught me to pass them out. God used him in my life in such a wonderful way. In other words, my great-granddaddy influenced his family, which in turn influenced me. Mr. Curley got a hold of me in his class, took an interest in me, somebody that Glad thought was going to end up in prison. The great-granddaddy thought he was going to end up as a preacher. Thank the Lord that Brian was right and not you, Glad. You know what I mean? Yeah. Mr. Curley took an interest in one of his pupils, one of his students, and he began to pump into him how to give the gospel, how to share your faith. Don't be ashamed to take a gospel tract, give it to somebody. By the way, he lived what he preached. He didn't teach me how to give them, and then he didn't give them himself. He gave them out everywhere he went. Even basically to the day he died, he was a soul winner. There's no doubt about that. That man taught me and put a burden in my heart about how to tell people about Jesus. Now, I'll be honest with you, I didn't understand that as a sixth grader. But I look back now and I say, right there is where it began. There's where my soul-winning passion began. God used Mr. Curley to help teach me the influence I have in soul-winning. Now, let me give you the thought here tonight. From these two men, I would like to challenge you about your family. And I'd like to challenge you about those you are influencing, whether it be in a classroom, whether it be on a bus route, whether it be behind closed doors in your home. Everybody has influence. And I want to ask you this question. What heritage are you leaving behind? Who are you influencing for the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ? And I want to give you a simple acrostic tonight. I'm not going to dwell on this, God helping me. But I'm going to spell out the word heritage. And I'm going to give you some thoughts about how you can leave a goodly heritage for those in your lineage and those who are in your sphere of influence. Now, this acrostic is in no way exhaustive. In other words, these are not all the things that you need to do. But if you'll do this simple acrostic, it'll help you leave a godly heritage for those that you may never meet in this life. Remember many years ago when we had a man by the name of Robert Holm, H-O-L-M. Maybe none of you remember this man. He preached from this pulpit, not this little one. I'm talking about this platform. He stood behind the sacred desk on this platform and he preached. His name was Robert Holm. If you remember, he was the great, great, great grandson of Charles Haddon Spurgeon. And I'm telling you, Spurgeon died in his 50s. He never met Robert Holm. But one reason Robert Holm is a Christian. Now, I don't know what he's doing today. I don't even know if he's alive today. I hope he's still going straight. I don't know any different if he's not. But one reason he preached here faithfully, sounded forth the Word of God, is because of his great, great, great granddaddy that he never met in his life, who stayed right with God and passed down the truth to the next generation. Now, that being the case, let me give you this acrostic tonight. I hope you'll stay with me here. First of all, the H. I hope you'll write this down or at least get the message. Here it is. H, honor those who have influenced you toward God. How can you leave a heritage? You leave it, first of all, by honoring those who have left you a heritage. We saw this in Joshua chapter 12, verses 1 to 7. I'm not going to take time to read it again. But folks, listen to me. Now, I'm burdened about this. I'm even convicted about this because I've not done a good job about this. But I want to teach my boy sitting right here on the second row. He needs to learn about his great-great-granddaddy. That's Brian Wheelock. He needs to learn a little bit more about Mr. Kaiser and how he influenced my life. I'm talking directly to you, son. I'm telling you tonight that somebody influenced my life. And what I'm influencing you with, somebody gave it to me. I'm giving it to you. And I'm praying God gets a hold of your heart. I want him to take the torch and go on for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's my heartbeat. I'm glad somebody gave me the truth, and I want to honor them to the day I die. Somebody say amen right there. You ought to honor those who have influenced your life for God. That's one way you leave a heritage. The E, you exemplify the Christian life. You see this in 1 Timothy 4:12, but be thou an example of the believers in word, conversation, faith, charity, all these kind of things. You know one thing that impresses me about Mr. Curley, impresses me about Brother Kaiser, impresses me about Brian Wheelock, is they not only taught it, they lived it. They lived the Christian life. They didn't tell you, go do that. They said, come do this. They were setting the example. They were exemplifying the Christian life. Let me ask you a question. Are you setting a Bible example in your home? Are you setting a Bible example of what a Christian is in your life, in your ministry, in your Sunday school class, your bus route, in your workplace, your school? Are you exemplifying the Christian life? The R tonight. Read and obey the Word of God. You know what made these men so powerful? It wasn't them. It was the Lord working through them. You understand? And every one of these men, they read the Bible faithfully. And they not only read it, they obeyed it. You know it's one thing to read the Bible? It's another ball game to obey it. It's one thing to read, thou shalt not covet. It's another thing to say, God, help me not to covet. And forgive me when I do. It is one thing to see, honor, and obey your parents. It's another thing when push comes to shove. Are you going to honor them? Are you going to obey them? Are you going to do both? Or are you just going to read it and not obey it? Read and obey the Word of God. How are you going to leave a heritage? These are just simple thoughts. Honor those who've influenced you toward God. Exemplify the Christian life. Read and obey the Word of God. The I, invest in others. Invest in others. The Bible teaches us back in the book of Deuteronomy, you don't need to turn to it for time's sake, but back in Deuteronomy chapter number 6 and verse number 4 through 7, it says this. It says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, when thou risest up. Deuteronomy 4:9 teaches the same thought. Deuteronomy 11:19 teaches the same thought. I do want you to turn to this scripture. Turn to Psalm 78 with me just a moment. Psalm 78 with me just a moment here. Talking about investing in others, pouring your life out into others. Don't let your life be wasted, but pour it out into others so that when you're gone, your life is living on. Now, look at Psalm 78, verse number 1. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old. Now, notice verse number 3 and following. Which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us, we will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done. For he hath established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, get this now, even the children which should be born. Who should arise and declare them to their children that they might set their hope in God, not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. Now, I don't know if you saw what I saw there, but what God is saying is this. He's commanding the fathers, you make it personal, you make it right now, you make it present. It starts with you, big boy. You pass it on to your children. So their children can pass it on to their children, which should be born. In other words, those children aren't even here yet. Then he goes on to say, so those children who are not even born yet would rise and teach them to their children. It is the will of God. The will of God's always present. Don't ever forget that. The will of God is not the future. It's always present. What does God want you to do now? Whatever it is, you pass it on to your influence. You invest in somebody. Give them the truth of God's word. Obey what God wants you to do. You're teaching them the truth of God's word and praying God gets a hold of their heart and they pass it on and they pray God gets a hold of their heart and they pass it on. I'm telling you, it's always starting with me. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? Invest in others. Pour your life out into somebody else in the cause of Jesus Christ. I can honestly say that Mr. Kaiser poured his life into me. I can honestly say that Mr. Olin Curley poured his life into me. It sounds a whole lot like my great-granddaddy poured his life into my dad, and my dad poured his life into me, and now we're carrying on the truths of God's holy word. That's the way it's supposed to work, folks. I'm telling you, have you ever read the verse in 2 Samuel 14:4? It says, 14:14, it says, for our life is as water spilled on the ground, which cannot be gathered up again. Think about that statement. Our life is like water that's spilled out on the ground. You may have seen me do this before. I know our leaders have, if they were in the leadership college or whatever it was, leadership school. The Bible says that our life is like water. Now I want you to pretend with me that this cup is your life. The Bible says our life is like water being spilt out on the ground, which cannot be gathered up again. The moment you were born, your cup was completely full. But the interesting thing is that there is water coming out of this cup from the very moment you're born. You can't stop it. It's called time. It's called days, moments, hours, seconds. You cannot stop the leak. It's getting lower and lower and lower. Question, how much water you got left? Fact is, you don't know. Nor do I. But I know this. I know my water's coming out of my life. Listen, this morning's over. I can't go back and get it. It's spilled out. I can't gather it up again. You understand what I'm saying? It's gone. I cannot stop the water from coming out, but I can make a decision about where it goes. You know what I challenge you to do? Are you listening to me? If you let this water spill out on the ground, it's gone, it's wasted, it's ruined. You cannot get it back. But if you take another cup and pour it out in it, are you following me? When all the water's gone out of this, this cup's living on, folks. And hopefully that cup will drop his water in another cup. And that cup will drop his water in another cup. I'm saying, what is your water spilling out into? If you're letting your water spill out into the world, it's a waste. You're letting your water spill out into the world's entertainment, the world's music, the world's philosophy. Listen, anything outside of God's will, it's water spilt on the ground. You cannot get it back again. It's a waste. But you want me to tell you what Mr. Curley, Brian Wheelock, Mr. Kaiser did? They knew their life was running out. You understand that Mr. Kaiser died from a blood clot after a knee surgery? His dear wife told us today at lunch that she went in to check on him and he was getting with her on it and all this kind of stuff. She was putting ice on his knee and he was cutting up with her. Next thing she knows, she goes back in and he's gone, folks. He's dead. In their home. Terrible. You don't know how much water you have left. But you know what's happening? He died in 2002. And I couldn't even hardly get through his message today because he poured his life into me. And his life is living on through me. What's your water spilling out into? Invest in others for the cause of Christ. Let me give you the T. Tell others of Christ. Let me tell you what was great about these three men I've highlighted tonight and this morning. They were not ashamed to share their faith about Jesus Christ. They were witnesses. Tell others about Christ, Mark 16:15, the A. This is really where it needs to start, but this is not in any particular order. Accept Christ as your Savior. You cannot leave a godly heritage and be lost. It's impossible. If you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, I challenge you, make that decision tonight. John 3:16, 3:36. Letter G, go to God in prayer. These men, I didn't know them all that well, but I guarantee you they were men of prayer. I guarantee it. And I'm telling you one thing, you cannot leave a heritage without being faithful in the prayer closet. You can write down Matthew 7:7, 1 Thessalonians 5:17, Hebrews 4:16. The E tonight is this. I'm just giving you these thoughts. All day long it's been a little bit different. I understand all that, but I hope you're getting what's happening. The E tonight, you ready? End right. End right. 2 Timothy 4:6-7, where he says, I've fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. I'm challenging you tonight, finish. Finish. End right. Mr. Curley went out of this world and he ended right. Brian Wheelock went out of this world and he ended right. Mr. Curley went out of this world. Mr. Kaiser, and he ended right. You say, I've messed up. I've thrown my life away. Wait a minute. End right. Wait a minute. End right. Finish what God's given you to do. Now, who is it tonight that you need to remember and honor? Who is it that influenced you? Are you exemplifying the Christian life? Are you reading and obeying the Word of God? Are you investing in others? Are you telling others about Christ? Have you accepted Christ as your Savior? Are you going to God in prayer? Are you going to finish and end right? What kind of a heritage are you leaving to others? The Bible says the lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. And may our children and our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren, our great-great-grandchildren, on and on it goes, as long as the Lord doesn't come back, may they be able to look back and say, the lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. Let's bow for a word of prayer, shall we? Our Father, I love you tonight, and I thank you for this time together. As we've had this Heritage Day, thinking about those who've influenced our lives and how we have influence over others, help us to do what you'd have us to do. Your heads are bound, your eyes are closed. When they get prepared, they're going to begin to play through softly. Are you a child of God? Have you trusted Christ and Christ alone? Have you accepted Him as your Savior? If you have, wonderful. If you haven't, start your heritage tonight and accept Him as your Savior by inviting Him to come into your heart. Forgive your sin, repent of your sin, ask Jesus to forgive you. I hope you'll come, let us take a Bible and share with you how you can know the Lord. Or I want to ask you this question. Are you living a godly heritage? The life you're living, the decisions you're making, are you exemplifying the Christian life, so on and so forth? Are you leaving the heritage that God wants you to leave to your children, to your grandchildren, to your great-grandchildren? How about to your Sunday school class or to your bus route? Or maybe tonight you just want to come and say, thank God for the heritage that He's given to me. Thank God for that preacher who gave me the truth. Thank God for my Sunday school teacher. Thank God for my mom, my dad. Thank God for my granddaddy, my grandmother, my great-granddaddy, my great-grandma. Thank God for that bus captain. Thank God for that one, that Bible college teacher. Thank God for that Sunday school teacher. Have you know somebody that's influenced you for God? Would you raise your hand? You know somebody like that? Now, I'm not asking every one of you to come to this altar to say thank you, Jesus. But maybe many of you should. And say, you know, I've been given a reminder today about those who've influenced me. Well, I wonder, Wouldn't it be great tonight if maybe entire families, I mean just entire families, the daddy who realizes from Psalm 78 that it all started with him, the fathers. Wouldn't it be great for some fathers, some husbands to grab their wife and grab their children and say, let me tell you something, we're going tonight to the altar as a family and we're going to pray that God will help our heritage to be exactly what it needs to be. Boy, I think it'd be great to see entire families coming. I think it'd be great to see some young people coming, some teenagers coming and saying, I'll tell you one thing, I'm a teenager and I thank God for my mom and my daddy, but something God's speaking to me about is my children who are not even here yet, maybe not even been thought about. God's speaking to me that the decisions I'm making today is affecting my heritage. God help me to leave the right heritage for my children, my grandchildren, my great-grandchildren. I'm just trying to tell you something, that you have influence. You are leaving a heritage. And whether you come tonight to just thank God for those that He used to influence your life, or whether you're coming tonight to say, God, make me the man, the woman, the boy, the girl, the teenager that is leaving the right heritage for others in my sphere of influence. Whatever it is, let's do business with God. Let's stop playing games. Let's get right with God. Let's come forward and say, Lord, help us to leave the right heritage. Maybe moms and dads or maybe husbands and wives want to come and pray together and say, oh God, help us to leave behind a heritage so our lineage can say, the lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. However God's speaking to you, you come. Let's talk to God. May the Lord help us. Let's all stand together, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father, help people to respond. Help them to come. Help them not to worry about what other people think. Help families to come together. Help teenagers to come by themselves. Help people to come just to say thank you for those that you've used to influence their life. Whatever it is, daddies taking their families, husbands taking their wives, bringing them to the altar, may thy will be done. Help us in this service to do business with God. In Jesus' name we pray. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Brother Gary's singing. If God is speaking to you, leave your place now and come. Come on, come on. Leave your place. Come on.
Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way.
Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still.
They're playing through softly. I'd like you to look this way if you'll do that. I realize not everybody has to come to the altar. I understand all that. But I hope if God's speaking to you that you'll make an altar out of your seat right there. You don't have to kneel. You can sit down or you can just close your eyes right there and talk to God. But I'm going to tell you something. I hope you've gotten what I hope you caught my purpose today. Hope you caught what this whole day's been about. This day has been about somebody's influenced you and you are influencing others. And may God help it to be the right kind of influence. Maybe God's dealing with you. Brother Gary's going to sing. We're going to sing. God's speaking to you. Would you leave your place and come? Here we go as he sings. Come on.
Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Hold on my being absolute sway. Fill with thy spirit till all shall see Christ only always living in
Let's sing on. We'll give people time.
Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter. I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still.
They're playing through softly. Folks are still praying. I want them to take their time. You know what might be good? It might be good for some of you to maybe to go home tonight, some of you teenagers. Might shock your parents to death. They might have a heart attack. What would it do for your mom and your dad? If you set them down and say, I'll tell you one thing, I thank God for you. Thank you for taking me to church. Thank you for being faithful. Thank you for giving me the truth. When's the last time you did that, teenager? When's the last time you did that to those who've influenced your life? My mom and dad are here, and I thank and praise God for them. I don't tell them enough. But I know this. I'd give anything if my great-granddaddy would walk in those back doors and I'd salute him and I'd meet him and I'll say, Brian, by the way, that's not disrespect, that's just how we knew him, Brian. Thank you. I'd give anything if Mr. Curley could walk in that back door right there. I'd go over here and I'd salute him and I'd say, thank you that when I was a sixth grader, you saw something that I didn't. And even though I didn't get it all then, I thank you for not giving up on me. I'd give anything if Mr. Kaiser could step in there and I'd salute him and I'd say, thank you, sir, for teaching me how to study God's Word. Thank you for teaching me how to find the key center of a passage. Thank you for just being faithful. But you know, more important than that, when's the last time we've gotten on our knees and looked beyond the man and said, dear Jesus, thank you for my great-granddaddy, how you saved him and used him in my life. Thank you for using Mr. Curley in my life. Thank you for using Mr. Kaiser. And oh, by the way, Jesus, none of this is possible without you. Thank you for dying for all of us. Thank you that you are our heritage and you are our hope. And because of that, they're with you and I'm going to see them again. We serve a good God, folks. God's been good to us. And I want us tonight as we leave to have on our minds, the lions have fallen to me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. And may God help us to pass it on. Let's bow for a word of prayer and we'll be dismissed. Amen. Brother Bob Bryant, sir, if you wouldn't mind to lift your voice and ask the Lord to help us to keep these thoughts in the forefront of our minds and to be with us as we go our separate ways.